Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales prior to stepping back to focus more on building Realty Universal membership network. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And now, Natalie Mullinex.
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be here another week with everyone. And today we are going to have so much fun. It's July 4th, not everywhere, but in the United States of America, and there's some other places have different days for Independence Day. And today is a special day because Randy Zachary, who used to host the show with me for a long time, and that's Randy who does our intro, which I get to hear every week and love, is with us today. So I'm really excited because the synergy. Hey, Randy, how are you?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. It is morning on the left coast.
Yeah. You're on the left coast, not Hawaii today. You're on the left coast, aren't you?
And the left coast over here, yeah. West coast it's 4th of July, so happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday. I love you being on with me. The synergy is so good, and it's exciting because it just time flies, doesn't it?
It surely does. It's so good, though. It's so good to be back on the air with you. And how many years have you done this show now?
Do you know, Randy? I think it's going on almost 7 years. And the funny thing about it is, you know, I still keep it organic. Don't yell at, don't scream at me because, Miss, you're so professional with radio for over 40 years and was almost, and me with real estate over 32, that we've talked about it many times. And I'm like, I still keep it organic. People always can say, you have to monetize, do this and this and this, and I'm still keeping it organic. But we have a lot of members and affiliates that listen constantly, too, and we tie it in with some of our training. So it's just fun. I just love it, you know. But with you, it's just fun to do this, and you, you're just telling me, you're on a mission, and the way God works, you were doing the ministry work, and of course the radio for quite a long time, and now it's all going to mix in together. Tell us what you're doing.
Well, there's this company called I-58 Media, and it's the name is taken from Isaiah 58:10 in the Bible, where it says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble, and your light will shine out of the darkness. And their whole idea is, you know, that Jesus talked about the poor a lot, you know, including in Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, right, where, you know, when it's all said and done, some people are going to say, you know, Jesus is going to say, depart from me, I didn't know you. And, well, Lord, didn't we build big churches and didn't we preach and didn't we? And he said, yeah, but, you know, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was poor and you didn't help me, you know, depart from me. So it's kind of helping the poor is a big, 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 big deal to God. And I think sometimes in American Christianity, we kind of lose sight of that. So this company, I-5810 Media, started about 20 years ago in Portland with rescue missions. The guy who founded it, David Harms, he felt the call to the mission field. He went to Africa on a mission trip, and he, you know, if you go there, you kind of get the bug. You're like, wow, why aren't we here helping these people all the time? Because there's so much need. And you know, it really makes you kind of, if you have any heart at all, you kind of, man, it makes you not want to come back to America in some ways. And so he felt this bug to go, but then family situations kind of came up where his wife got ill and he couldn't go. He was a radio guy, and he started, he would do volunteering at the local rescue mission, and then he had an idea to actually do a fundraiser on the local Christian radio station for the rescue mission, and it went really good. And then all the rescue missions in America, they're all in an association, and they all kind of talk to each other. They heard about it, and they asked him if he would come and do a radio, you know, a fundraiser in their town. And so this business was born, and he realized,
wow.
He kept telling people, well, you know, yeah, I'll come and do one, but, you know, I'm heading back to Africa, so I'm not going to be here long, but as long as I'm here, I'll do these things. And eventually he kind of got the idea and the picture. God kind of finally helped him realize that he was being called to not be the boots on the ground, not be a missionary, but be the support for the boots on the ground. You know, give them a voice,
right,
in Christian radio,
wow,
help them raise money. And so this business, it's a for-profit business, this I-5810 Media, but we see ourselves as a support team for the boots on the ground, the missionaries around the world. And so, my job is going to be to fly around the world and gather stories from missionaries in countries,
wow,
all over the world, and come back and then do fundraisers at radio stations all over the country. So, you know, it's you know,
it.
Me, I like to travel, so that works out well. And then it's for I get to do radio for you know, obviously something that really matters, which is, you know, clean water for children and you know, feeding them and all those things that you and I have talked about for years, right?
With the wells and with the everything, the whole everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
You
know,
so
it's
grateful.
Interesting how,
really
so how is it i58media.com? Is that how people would look it up?
Yep, I-5810. So it's i-5810-5810media.com. And I love their...
Okay.
If you go there, I love their tagline or their mission, their statement on the, it says, we inspire and activate generosity for a broken world. And I love that,
wow,
mission, just to inspire and to activate, you know, generosity. And, you know, there's just so, you know, so people in America, we have so much. And I get it that, man, there can be fatigue. You know, people are kind of hit up a lot to give. And
oh,
so,
right. That's hard. Right.
Yeah, I know you do over the years. Successful,
right,
business people get hit up for donations all the time, and you can kind of get jaded. But, you know, what we say is, you know, there's some training involved in the way we share what we share, and that is, you know, if you're giving, great. What we're doing is mining, you know, plowing the field for those who aren't yet giving and who have struggled with it and who need to see the value in giving away what God's blessed them with. And so it's kind of a fine line, not offending people, not chasing people away,
right,
not turning,
right,
people off, because and so it's a, in the process, it's interesting. One of the things they did a nationwide like search for this position, and they came down to two finalists. This is the first time I ever had a headhunter involved, where the first guy who called me was the headhunter, and he has a business where he helps businesses find quality, you know, applicants, and he has all these assessments that he puts you through to see how you fit with, you know, what they need. And so it was fascinating to be put through that whole process. It was pretty lengthy, and then at the end there were two finalists, and they flew us both to Portland,
wow,
for interviews all day. And at the end of a day of interviews, he basically told me, he said, you know what, after you know, interviewing both of our finalists, he said, it's a tie. We can't decide. I'm like, oh, man.
Wow.
So now what? Because we're trying to figure out a way to hire both of you guys. I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. And
oh, that's perfect.
And then he goes, oh, so I'll let you know tomorrow what we've decided. So call me back the next day. This was last Friday, and said, you know what, Randy, we've prayed about it, and we want you on our team. And so we've decided just to go with you, and, you know, and anyway, it was one of those moments, surreal, because it was, I just feel like
that was God.
I can't think of a better way to finish a 40-year radio career than by
know,
giving a voice
yeah.
to children, you know, so, yep. It's exciting.
Randy, you know, it's like, congratulations. It's amazing because I've known you for years, and this, you know, the theme and the grain, serving, giving back. You know, we talked about, because we're working on the wells within Africa, you know, to try to figure out how do
yeah.
we help people and really make a difference. And it's so, as one person, it's like, wow, you have to, you know, it's hard, right? And it can start with one vision, and you, for years, I just think it's so amazing how we grow through our professions. And I remember, you know, we were always like both saying, oh, you know, we want to help people, serve people. And it seems like, say, real estate, you're serving, radio, you're serving, but how do you serve in a big way? And it's like God's taken you all these years, you know, and put you right in the position that you're the best leader for. It's just,
yeah.
It gives me the chills. Because knowing you and then knowing your strengths and how you love ministry and love people, it's just like you couldn't ask for a better – this is like you couldn't ask for a better position, I think, to with
yeah.
all your knowledge.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that. We always say we take it for granted, you know, what we know in our fields and how God's using us to get to finish out the vision and serve. So when you look at all this and you go – well, our founding fathers for July 4th is kind of interesting, right? Pulling away from England and the United States of
mm-hmm.
America and getting everything started here. You know, they had the vision,
yeah.
right? And the vision was freedom and helping and so much sacrifice had to be done to get to that point. And, you know, now we have big parties on the 4th of July, right? We're celebrating the freedom and you know, the hot dogs, the fireworks, the you know, parties. Going back to like you were saying, mining, plowing the fields, getting out there. Look, it's just interesting to me how everything starts with an idea. Everything starts with
yeah.
you know, the mission. And then if you can get enough people to do this, right, and to see the purpose behind it, I always try to take everything. I look at around how we go full circle, and I just think it's so interesting. To where we are, and we're in such a good
yeah.
time. We're in a crazy time, I guess, but I bet there's many times times people thought we were in crazy times, right, over the years. We've got
yeah.
a lot going
yeah.
on, especially with social media.
Oh,
you know, and
oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's
crazy.
Yeah, and you've got skills
country.
To deal with people all over the world. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's a great country. You know, we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, I know part of this, without getting too into the weeds on politics, I know part of the recent, you know, immigration stuff, battles back and forth, and, you know, want to be compassionate, yet, you know, rule of law and all that. And I know in some of this, I've watched some things where they've kind of taken it back to, you know, again, the whole Indian thing and how we essentially took the land from the Indians, you know, and basically, you know, called that God's will. And so they call into question, you know, the greatness of America and, you know, that we were really, you know, all that, you know, there's just so many naysayers.
Right.
And it's more complicated than that. It just really,
exactly.
it really is because obviously, I mean, I don't know, manifest destiny and all that. I know that's what that's how we, you know, rationalize just going across the country and putting Indians on reservations. And I realize, in some ways there's some dark parts to our history there, but I do believe in all of that, that God did have a plan for America, and sometimes that involves, you know, reorganizing, reshuffling, and anyway, I don't know. I just feel like God has had his hand on this country. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Have we made mistakes? Yeah. And, you know, but when I think of World War II, and when I, you know, World War I, Civil War even, you know, and, you know, something that that people, again, when they think about it, you know, again, and I get it, a lot of anger, racist
right.
stuff going on, but this country lost, you know, lost hundreds of thousands, I'm just going to say it, of white soldiers who died, you know, to end slavery. So what country, you know, that's amazing to me that, you know, that in our history, you know, that we were willing to have people die for what was right. And thank God for President Lincoln, who stood in there and
right.
fought for that when nobody else was going to, nobody supported him, you know, and it looked bleak, man. If you watch any of those movies about Lincoln and stuff, I mean, it looked bleak, and he took a lot of heat. And, oh, by the way, I'm not going to get political, but.
No, go ahead, because I get it. I agree.
It was the Democrats who fought Lincoln and didn't want to end slavery, not the Republicans. It was the Democrats who fought Lincoln on slavery. They didn't want slavery to end. The Republicans did. And now all these years down the road, you know, it's flipped. Like somehow, you know, Republicans are the evil ones and are racists. And it's just not true if you look at history, you know. And
I agree. I think the, you know, we want to remember what is freedom all about, right? And the deaths and the, you know, the work and it this, you know, those guys were serious and sticking with our Constitution and preparing a Constitution. And I you know, when I look at it nowadays with the politics going on, I just can't believe, what bothers me is we all need to agree to disagree and not, you know, there's so much hatred getting out there, which tells me how far that we haven't gone as far as we want to. And at some point, you know, these wars tear us down. They don't, you know, I agree in reorganization, but it's gotten really ugly. And I don't know if people are, because of the social networking and people are so dispersed and we get news so quickly from everywhere, I'm not sure, you know, something I remember years ago, and it makes sense, you know, you would go to countries in Europe, and it's changed a lot because now we're fast-forwarding, we're in, you know, it's everybody's trying to be like everybody else, the world's adopting principles from other countries, et cetera, et cetera. But you used to go to, like, say, Italy or France or Germany, and you'd say, wow, you know, it's so, their cultures, their traditions are so steeped in. And then you come to the United States, which is a melting pot, and we have so many different cultures and so many people, and the whole purpose was bring people in from other countries. That's why I know with Mexico it's so difficult, but it's got to be legal. You know, there's got to be a way to make it, not give up what we've, you know, the country started on, the founding fathers started it on, but to make it legal. Now, these are my opinions, of course. We all are entitled to our opinions. And but the melting pot makes it kind of maybe confusing. People are like, what do we do here? What do we? Oh, this culture has this cultural. And, you know, speaking and training and what you do too, we have to, we are privy to respecting people from different cultures and what they do. But the difference I noticed with, like, which has changed because they're becoming more Americanized too, with like, you know, other countries, is like their tradition was steeped for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, some thousands, you know, and that's, you know, so the difference in that is I think people get confused. We have to stay grounded and stay, you know, on our faith and peace. And I think that's what I'm seeing a lot, like people getting confused or swaying their opinions or going back and forth. Does that make sense? Instead of it being, and the beautiful part about it is that we want to embrace and give and serve. But I don't see how we can if we're arguing and fighting and calling people names and doing that hate stuff. I mean, it just blocks everything. And so I just pray that somehow we have a middle of the ground meetings, and to show that we have evolved and we've gotten a lot further. You know, it's kind of ugly but this is amazing what's happening. I agree. I believe the United States of America is an amazing place, but people still want to come here from all over the world. And we have the strength here to reach out, you know. Do you know over 600 million a year is spent in fireworks alone in the U.S.? Are you hearing the fireworks go off where you are? We started hearing them last night.
I live in a small town right now up near Yosemite, kind of in the mountains, and they have so many fires up here that they don't allow fireworks.
Oh, that's good that they don't allow it.
Up in the mountains. So, you go to Bass Lake or you go to the ball game or you go down to Fresno, you go somewhere where you can watch fireworks. But, yeah, they're big.
That's good.
Big deal. I was watching a ball game last night, and I think it was in Colorado, and they were supposed to have fireworks after the game, which a lot of baseball teams do. And the game was going really fast. You know, they're like three up, three down, three up, three down, three up, three down. So the game was about going to be ending, and it was still light. And they're like, man, they need to do something here to call, because fireworks without, you know, in the daytime, kind of not really impressive, you know. And so they were talking about ways they could slow the game down, you know, getting hit by the pitch on purpose, and, you know, and it was
somebody
just
didn't time
kind
that
of a
really
funny,
well, huh?
No, they finally.
That's really funny when the show must go on, you know.
Yeah, and then they had one inning where it took like 20 minutes, and they're like, oh, okay, I think we're going to be okay. It'll be dark after the game now, so we can have fireworks, you know. But and then Monica and I were thinking about going down to Fresno tonight. There's a local minor league team in Fresno, the Grizzlies, and they have a firework display, and somebody gave us free tickets. Well, you know, typically free tickets have, what do you call it, exclusions of dates you can't use them. And I looked on the back and it said, not good on opening day or 4th of July. I'm like, okay, I guess we can't do that. But because that's a popular, again, it's a popular day and they can sell tickets. So are you going to any kind of a fireworks show today or what?
No, I'm going out to my son's going somewhere else too. I'm going out to just meet with a friend out for a couple hours, but then later I'm not going to go anywhere because I can see the fireworks in many places. I could just go out my back door and see the fireworks.
Yeah.
So I'm not doing anything special. You know, it's kind of I like to keep it simple on these big holidays like New Year's, 4th of July.
Yep.
Cookouts are great too, but it's funny, in the middle of the week, I thought, now I could be wrong, and maybe it's just the other holidays, but it used to be where if a holiday fell in the middle of the week, everyone could celebrate on Monday or Friday to make it a long weekend. Wasn't that the way it was, or just not with July 4th?
Yeah. It's weird, huh, because when it's in the middle of the week, so you start with Monday going, this is kind of, I may have to work today and tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, but it's going to not be full speed because everybody's already mentally taking the week off, you know?
Yeah.
Seems like. And then Thursday, Friday,
like
same thing, right? Because it, yeah.
But I like the cookouts. I love cookouts on 4th of July, but I'm just not doing it today. Or it's just other holidays? Because you know how they usually make the federal holiday on Monday or Friday if it falls at a different time. So, or did they just stop doing that? I don't know. I thought, usually, but it's all good. It's really all good. And, I circle around. I still want to do It's Time to Heal at some point, too, because it circle around and with the freedom and the mindsets. You know, our mindsets control more of all the other stuff we're doing, right, and the opinions. It's just incredible. So what are – I was looking at some fun facts from – go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I interrupted you.
Yeah, well, to your point of the mindset, I mean, I was just reading reading the Bible this morning, and I came across a book in Proverbs. I came across a verse. It said, "Be careful what you think. Your thoughts run your life." And I thought, wow,
it's
Proverbs 4:23. And I thought, you know, because you and I both have been through all kinds of, right, motivational speaker
right.
seminars
right.
and, you know, mindset and all that. And yet, like, it's some sort of new thing. And yet here it is in the Bible, in Proverbs, in the Old Testament, be careful what you think. Your thoughts run your life. And I thought, wow, that's just so true. Man, our thoughts do run
really
our
is.
Lives. And
garbage in, garbage out. You know, like we're learning that as we get older, I think because of experience, right? But you look at, it's interesting. Then we realize we don't have the time to do what we used to be able to do. But our thoughts are huge. And then you get these, I think it's amazing. If we can just tame those thoughts, right? And tame what we're doing and give back and serve. And it's just fun. And then have more fun too, right? Take it a day at a time. And have a lot more fun while we're doing this serving. It's amazing. We're not taking things with us. And a lot of what I always like to focus on too is with the poor, we need to help with the wells, the clean water, food. I know in Africa I was told by one of the missionaries before once about, well, you know, we'd go in and we teach them how to have crops and grow their crops. But then we have to arm them and teach them how to fight off the people that may come in, they're going to come in to steal the crops, right? Or to pillage the village and things like that. And, it just shows in history. It just keeps repeating itself. And, just amazing. Yeah. So I was looking at a lot of fun facts, too, for July 4th. And, Declaration of Independence wasn't actually signed on July 4th by everybody. There's a total of 56 signers, and there were only July 4th was only signed two, and the other guys on August 2nd, 50 men signed the document, and then it was about several months later before all 56 signatures were in place. The last man to sign was Thomas McKean. And he did so January of 1777, 7 months after the document was approved by Congress. Robert Livingston, one of the five original drafters, never signed it at all, since he believed it was too soon to declare independence. Now, I like a guy like that, right? I like to hear that, hey, wait a minute, you know, I don't believe it's time. I'm not signing. You know, I kind of like the independence of people, as long as it's for good reason. Yeah,
that's the beauty of our system, right? Democracy. People can agree, like you said earlier, agree to disagree agreeably, man. I mean, when you think about that, I mean, other countries, the way other countries, a lot of them, right, change, transition, you know, leadership is not voting, right? It's a power grab. It's a coup. No matter if we win or lose the election and we love or hate who the new president is, the beautiful thing and amazing thing to me as I watch, you know, inaugurations and stuff is our peaceful transition of power. To me, that's one of the biggest, like, floodlights to the world of the beauty of democracy, that you can, you know, at least for that day. But even that, of course, this last inauguration got a little weird and sideways with people who said they weren't going to show up. And you know, but that's too bad, because for years that's been the tradition that, you know, win or lose, agree
Absolutely.
Or disagree, on the inauguration day, we all come behind our new president. And, you know, but with all the detractors and all the stuff that went around with Trump, still a peaceful transition of power. Nobody got killed, right? There wasn't
Absolutely.
An up revolt. Although it feels like sometimes
Absolutely.
You watch the media, it's in some ways, you know, now that they're calling, you know, for people to, you know, harass, you know, government officials in public places while they're eating dinner and whatnot. I mean, it's gonna it could start to turn the corner, and there could be some real physical violence, you know, sadly, because
it's like, I just pray it stops. Well, I think that there's so much, like when you said a little bit ago, we're talking about it's so much more complicated, right? Things are so much more complicated than what it may look like on the face value. And that's everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the Bible talks about, like, you would know probably the verse better than I would, but I have to get better at pulling out the, I know the scriptures and go, and we're always learning. People are afraid to teach or speak sometimes because they're afraid they don't know what they're talking about. Or some just come out of left field and say things even if they don't know what they're talking about. But I think it's better for people to speak. But everybody knows the right and wrong. And everybody knows if you're yelling at somebody or you're mean or you've got hate in you. We all know that. It doesn't matter what we've done, where we come from. We know the universal, like, you know, I'm being good or I'm not being good. And I just wish that everybody could look at that very simple, keep it simple fact. Does this do good? Does this do harm? Because it's getting so out of hand.
Yeah.
In the Bible, they talk about, you know, you're teaching, you know, they're supposed to, a teacher's supposed to really learn and know, but also Jesus and God and, you know, will, the Spirit will fill us up and tell us what to say. We don't have to know everything. And I think people need to not be so afraid. People are afraid of what it looks like, what they think, what they, you know, and I'm just, I wrap it all around in that point that I believe it could get ugly, and it shouldn't get ugly. We need to remember what we're doing with our kids and their population and what kind of example we're setting. You know, that the civilization still needs rules and to be civilized, and that's a fact from years and years and years ago. Look at the Roman days, you know, when things were getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And so I look at and I just – it's funny. I mean, I just thank God that our forefathers were able to do this. And, I mean, they didn't have the luxuries we have today. And many were killed. And, you know, and then, yeah, you know, the rights of land and all these other things that came up. There's just, like you said, it's so complicated. But life can get complicated, but let's keep it simple, too. And, you know, give somebody a smile. Give them that, you know, help them. Give them food. And I think when more and more people realize they can make a difference individually and collectively with knowing, hey, wait a minute, is what I'm about to say going to do harm or do good? Does it matter? Now I'm, you know, and I think, you know, President Trump, I voted for him and I'm happy to say I voted for him. And there's some people that, you know, I've talked to, they're like, are you crazy? Like, wait a minute, don't we have a right to disagree? I can't imagine somebody not liking somebody because of my views. That's just not right. I mean, you know, it's just, I'm just glad that enough people still get up and have that energy and say, no, you know, I can make a difference. I can help. I can help this world and help serve. What you're getting to do, oh, it just gives me the chills, because to be able to go and speak to missionaries around the world, get their stories firsthand, you know, as a journalist, basically, right, and bring it back and put it out there on the air is just incredible because people need it. People need to hear that. I'm just so excited. So I'm looking at a couple other things on July 4th. John Hancock, you know how we all, the term John Hancock has become synonymous with person signature? Put your John Hancock here.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, the legend was that the founding father signed his name bigger than everyone else's because he wanted to make sure that, excuse this thing, fat old King George could read it without his spectacles. That's the legend. But the truth is that he had a large blank space and didn't realize the other men would write their names smaller. So I guess he was just like, you know. So that's how the term John Hancock became to be. Isn't that funny? We got these cute things that are, I love it. And then, you know, kind of eerie. Three United States presidents died on the 4th of July.
Whoa.
Did you ever hear that before? Isn't that
whoa.
Even though 4th of July, you know, they technically made it the original, the official day, but John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and James Monroe were.
I didn't know that.
I know, it's just kind of like this, here. And, yeah, I just, And Yankee Doodle, the song was originally written by officers of the British Army to make fun of the backwoods Americans. I didn't know that. You know how we say
no.
Yankees? I had no idea. It was just a joke, of funny, to make fun of backwoods Americans, huh?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. These backwoods yahoos who want to have a country. That's a whole nother, man. I'm a history buff, and I mean George Washington. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? How in the world, you know, did we ever win that war? Because, you know, I love the story of how he just kept, you know, he kept avoiding conflict, you know, looking for his spot, looking for his, you know, opportunity, and often, you know, by cover of night, they would slip away. They'd be surrounded, and they'd escape being annihilated. You know, he would just, his whole thing was, I want to live to fight another day, and at some point we'll have our chance. And, you know, just that, how he, talk about leadership, and, you know, just talk about a guy who didn't give up, and the miracle that the formation of this country was. There's no doubt that God had his hand on that revolution, you know, and say what you will, but it, you know, about our country and where it's gone, and but God did that, and then, but here's where it gets complicated. So, because yes, no doubt God had his hand on us winning that war. That was a miracle, total miracle. But that spy ring, and you know, there's a TV show on Netflix. I forget the name of it now, but we binged it. It's all about the spy ring that helped win that war. George Washington recruited, speaking of backwoods farmers, a bunch of backwoods farmers who were spies. And
they were able to apprise him.
They were spies for Washington, but because they were in the country and, you know, could watch troop movements, right, and see where the British were,
right,
where they were going, where their concentration of numbers was. He had this, for 3 or 4 years, had this spy ring of, you know, and spies, what do? They, by the very nature of what they're doing, they're lying, right? They're saying they're somebody they're not, so that they can infiltrate British, you know, circles. And so, but the spy ring helped win the war. And you can say, well, that's immoral then, and well. It's complicated, you know. God does what he does. You look at the Bible, you look at the people he used. I mean, people in the Old Testament were having incest, you know. I mean, crazy stuff, just crazy stuff. God does what he does, takes, you know, damaged, you know, people, imperfect people, and, you know, I mean, I don't know. It just, but that spy ring thing was fascinating to me because without that, he wouldn't have been able to avoid, you know, the British at a lot of different junctures where, you know, they were going to surround him and annihilate him. And so, Turn. It's called Turn, and it's on Netflix. And if anybody ever if anybody's looking to binge a series on Netflix, there's like 2 or 3 seasons, and it's about that spy ring. And it's just fascinating. So.
Oh, I'm going to look that up. So it's Turn, T-U-R-N? T-U-R-N?
T-U-R-N, yeah. Yeah. It's a great, 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 great series. And in fact, it's 4th of July. We might watch that today.
I love that. That would be a great one. But it's a series. Right now they have these series on Netflix. You can go back and forth.
Yeah.
It
was a TV series on AMC, I think. And then it's, you know, they release it in, once they finish the season on AMC, they release it to Netflix, and you can kind of just binge watch, you know, a season. I think it's 10 or 12 episodes.
Wow.
And so there are days, like some days where we just want to binge. So we like, Netflix, we're going to watch 10 or 12 series. Here we go, or episodes, you know, but being a history buff, I love that. And, you know, the other one,
I love how we
that, yeah, the other, whatever we say, battle, I guess, Civil War, you know, Revolutionary War, and then you know, as regards to the Indians, the whole Custer Little Bighorn thing where, you know, again, that was kind of the end of us doing what we did to the Indians. And what really set it off was, of course, the massacre of Custer's, you know, troops at the Little Bighorn. And but it's interesting, too, that that was June 25th, 1876. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1876, which was the 100-year, you know, celebration of our freedom.
Right.
So, yeah, literally the very day Custer was wiped out at the Little Bighorn back in Washington, D.C. and New York, and I'm sure your neck of the woods there in Maryland and everywhere, there were these huge celebrations going on because it was the centennial celebration, the 100-year celebration of our country in 1876. And then, you know, a couple days later, they hear of this crazy, you know, massacre at the Little Bighorn. And that's still one historical place I've not been that I really, really want to, really want to go out. It's really, you'll love this because I know you're very spiritual, but I have this connection with that battle and I'm not sure what it is other than as a kid I was fascinated and I would read it, every book I could read on it. But every year, literally when June comes, when the calendar turns to June, I'm very aware that June 25th is coming up, right? It's like the day of the battle. I said, I don't know what that connection's all about. And I had a college professor who used to live next door to us at our home in Chico. And I told her about it. And she goes, well, that's easy. You died there in another life. You were one of the soldiers. And you died there in another life. Yeah. I'm like, okie dokie, I don't call dying there, but, you know.
It's possible. They say that.
You never know. Yeah.
Well, they said it was taken out of the Bible, I think. It was taken out, but it may have been in at some point. Wow. Well, there's some calling to you there. There's some calling that it must.
Something, man. Yeah, it draws me to that whole thing. I'm fascinated with it. And in some ways, that kind of makes sense. I mean, I'm like, huh.
That
could answer it. But anyway, I'm blabbing.
No, I think that's exciting. No, it's really good information.
I could talk history. All day, but that's what America, you know, that's what America was built on was our history. And you think of, you know, the amazing guys, the World War II guys, you know, Normandy, and just all the stuff, all the miracles. I mean, literally miracles that have saved the world over and over through America, you know, when we've been called to go, you know, fight Hitler and called and all the, you know, that whole, the run up to that invasion at D-Day on Normandy, everything went wrong, right? The weather was terrible. The seas were choppy and all the tanks sunk. The bombing that was supposed to soften the defenses missed terribly. You know, nothing went right. And then we lost, you know, thousands and thousands of men. And somehow, some way, through pure grit, and then, you know, God's providence, you know, that somehow we saved the world from a tyrant, you know. And I mean, you just think about that. And anyway, it's pretty fascinating.
My family was. I remember my family was right there in La Rochelle, France, and they had everything taken from them and. Given back
really?
Later, and my grandmother was putting monies into the French underground to save the Jewish people, and my mother's milk was poisoned by Germans when she was 5, and you know it's like the warplanes would go over. I mean, when you've lived through it, I didn't live through it, they lived through it, but you hear the stories firsthand. It's amazing how the stories can be very different than what, you know, our history books tell us in pieces. You know,
yeah.
it's really a lot to dig in, and like now we have the fake news, right? And you wonder when people are reading that stuff 20 years from now what they're going to think, you know? And so it's really interesting. Like you said before, I love that. It's complicated. It's very complicated. But the simple part is we know if it's good or bad. You know, it's amazing the people that look at that get up and fight for the right things. You know, I think our nation as a whole, there's way more good than bad. You know, I just think that it's knowledge is so important.
Exactly.
For us to get in there and say, hey, I don't know 100% what's going on here, but I know this is wrong or this is right. You know, we know good from bad. And I just thank God for how God puts up with us all. I don't know. you know the things that make us that give us the drive. I mean, some people just say, hey, I want to go to work. I want to pay the bills. I just want to watch TV and I'm done. I don't want to do anything else. And then other people are like, no, I have to serve. But maybe the person who's exhausted served all day and served in different ways. So we never know what somebody's path is. You know, they always said, you know, walk in someone's moccasins for 2 weeks before you give your opinion about them, right? And it's this freedom to choose, freedom to create, freedom to, you know, we were born, God-given spirits born to be able to do this and grow and grow and grow. And that's what I love with the United States of America, that freedom came with a price, but it still keeps going. And it's working. As much as people may be arguing and fighting and this thing, it still is working. We're moving forward, right? And you've noticed whenever there's a big strategy like 9/11 or the floods in Houston, you know, we were, well, all over. Remember, and we did a show with that last September. You and I did, and you had people on. It's amazing to see the good nature and the cheer and people really coming together when there's a major need, you know. And now you're taking a global, and I love it. And I was looking at Universal,
I'm
you know,
excited.
The mission. Yeah. I mean, we have got to hear about that and maybe we can get pieces and air them, too, when you're airing them on different shows. I don't know how the radio stations. I don't know how they work with the copyright or whatever. That's a whole other stuff. But maybe we can do that to help get the word out too.
Interviews. I mean, company owns the interviews that we do. So I mean, we could definitely distribute them because the more the merrier. Our goal is to, you know, give children a voice, give the poor a voice. I know you have a heart for even rescue missions. Because you, right, your friend who in Hawaii who runs the rescue mission right there, and I know we've talked to him a few times on the show. That's been near and dear.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny. You look at, you know, we write out our dreams and stuff, and I've always wanted to help in Africa with the starving children, and it's like you go, we've got to be doing it, and with the wells and getting it out, and I've got. It's so funny. One of my things on my goals, that I'm working for the next race is we have a nonprofit or partnered with a nonprofit who assists children and families in Africa, installing wells and educating. These dreams, these goals, we have it in us, and we just sometimes it can seem overwhelming, and then God makes it work, and we just keep on doing, you know, keep on doing, and give back and help. Sometimes it's just a word, a smile, encouragement, right? That does it.
And do it, do it Jesus style, which is leading with meeting the felt need first, meeting the hunger and meeting the, you know, the sickness, meeting whatever the need is. Jesus first met the physical need, you know, and then followed with the spiritual, you know, message. So, you know, that's just that's kind of an MO, a Jesus style, loving people, because, you know, I think John Maxwell used to say, and still does, but people don't really care what you know until they know how much you care. You know, I mean, you can go to poor, broken people and say, hey, Jesus loves you and he's got a wonderful plan for your life. And you know, these people are sitting in a village in Africa going, really? Okay.
Huh. I'm hungry. I'm starving.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got, yeah.
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 Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say three days before my brother died.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Randy.
It's hard to do this when not sitting in the studio, you know.
It's okay. No, I just talk too much. Go ahead. Some things don't change.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, just the idea of even those people, what we have seen, you know, over the years is you take that same village in Africa where people are destitute and depressed and starving, and you see people who are, you know, Jesus people coming in and loving on people and giving them hope and activating hope in their lives and feeding them and giving them a plan, maybe starting a, you know, an orphanage or, you know, getting them clean water. All of a sudden some physical things start happening for the better, and they start sort of believing that maybe God does have a wonderful plan for your life. Now, that might mean you still never get out of that village and you're going to live in a dirt, you know, floor hut. But
right.
We've seen it worldwide that, you know, you go to those places where needs have been met and hope has been, you know, imported, and those people are happy. They're joyous. They realize that it isn't, this world isn't about the physical stuff. So more than us, they're able to realize that, be free of all this physical stuff that we think in America
right.
is so important, you know, and
right.
and that's why I think, honestly, you know, you see more miracles in other countries, you know. I do believe, you know, because healing was such a big part of Jesus' ministry, I believe healing is for today. I mean physical healing. I believe, you know, more people – now, flip side of that is I do not believe that not everybody is – going to be healed. Some of those TV guys, you know, oh, everybody should be healed. It's your right. You know, Jesus, his body was broken for you. Well, it was, but not everybody is healed. There are reasons why God doesn't do that.
Exactly.
This stuff.
Right.
Everybody's healed eventually. The point is, Max Lucado said it best. He said, it's not a cop-out to say everybody will be healed, just some people not this side of death. You know, we get our new bodies,
right.
we go to heaven, we're
right.
now healed. But sometimes the right. timing is what we get tripped up on is, oh, well, it should happen today or tomorrow or next week or God's not loving me. No. Anyway, I'm getting preaching here. But,
I believe people yeah. should still take medicines and things if they need, you know, need it and work with what's been created.
Yeah.
I agree. We don't, it's amazing, you know, well, it's incredible. 3 days before my brother died, I was having dinner with one of our brokers on the Big Island and Dr. Sam. And Dr. Sam worked firsthand with Mother Teresa for 7 years. His family wanted him to be a doctor in India, and he wanted to go in and be a minister. And then he was told by, he was told by their church to go help this nun. And this is way before, you know, people knew who Mother Teresa was when she was starting out. And he worked with her for 7 years, stayed in touch throughout her life. And I said to him, I said, tell me, what was the main thing with her? And he goes, you know what? It was very simple. Mother Teresa would always say, love God, love people. And, we can all do this, right? Always. And and joy comes from within. Many of us are looking for joy outside of ourselves, and like you had mentioned, you know, you have to. Jesus says, "Feed the physical needs first." I mean, you know, look at the Maslow hierarchy. You know, if we're hungry, we're starving. Feed that, and then you can go to the spiritual.
Yeah.
Well, it really the joy comes from within, and we fill up our well, and then it's so much easier to do the rest and ground. We get so caught up in this material stuff and the who's stuck John and who's doing this and it's really it's a blessing to be able to keep it simple and say, is this the right thing or is this the wrong thing? You know, I just love it because we're only here for a short time. Even if we go 80 years, that's not a very long time, and we can make a difference. I just love it. And then how do you're so good at injecting the humor with the seriousness and with your mission. You and Monica have been amazing, what you do and with the marriage ministry and regular ministry and the radio and what you're doing with international right now. How do you tell our audience, because it's July 4th, we're supposed to be celebrating, there's parties everywhere, right? And some people may be celebrating not. It was declared a federal holiday in 1938. Of course, they were celebrating before then, but then it was finally declared a federal holiday in 1938. You know, like you said, it's complicated, but tell us, how do we keep life simple and enjoy and inject the humor? You're so good with the humor. You were in comedy too with the radio, and you've got years and years of this. How do you do that? Is it looking at things simply, or is it like, I mean, just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much that's funny, and I think rather than, you know, I think a lot of our humor or our angst, our anger, our bitterness, it is about, you know, human nature and dwelling on human nature. And so I kind of just choose to laugh at human nature because, you know, it's pretty funny. I mean, we can definitely at times, you know, be obsessed with the darkness of human nature.
Right.
I hate to be all biblical, but Philippians 4:8 talks about thinking on those things that are, you know, honest, true, you know, trustworthy, good, not things, you know, that are bad. And I think that to the degree that you do that and realize that, you know, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, the joy of the Lord, that joy can be a lifestyle, you know, celebrating moments, celebrating days. Boy, these verses are coming like crazy. Maybe somebody needs to hear this.
I love it.
His mercies are new every morning. I mean, we get a divine do-over every day. So, you know, whatever happened yesterday, we get a divine do-over today, and you can reset, and you can choose joy. You just can choose joy, and that means you're looking for good. When you start looking for good, you're more joyful. You're able to laugh more at things. You see the funny side in things rather than and our old friend Wayne Dyer, the things that you look at when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change, you know. And I love that. That's probably one of my favorite quotes of his. And we have a special memory with Wayne Dyer. That was so cool. That
you got to interview him live, didn't you, Randy?
I chased him down in a supermarket. Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Like, I don't know who I'm talking. Wait, that was hysterical. That was great. That was definitely a guy. Was like the likelihood of that was so. Yeah.
The late great Wayne Dyer. Man, that was cool.
God bless him.
Well, we've had a lot of memories, man. I so appreciate you letting me hang out with you this morning on the 4th of July. It's been awesome.
Oh, Randy, you know, I still want you to be do help with It's Time to Heal. Because I know in everything I do with real estate, it's been the ministry for me, but it's always people and the self-help and how can we help. And even on commercial, you still are getting into the win-win negotiating, making it, it's a reoccurring theme. And it's something people need every day, you know, they need to heal every day to start off and be peaceful. And yeah, I'd love to have you in that somehow. With it because
let's figure that out because you're right, it is time.
God given.
People need to heal. That's true. And it's
so
there, it's available.
It is, it really is, right? We come into the world alone and we leave alone, even though we don't want to be alone and we're part of communities, right? Mm. But with our spirit and soul, and God can fill us up. And you know, they say, as a man thinketh, so he is, and it's really important, you know, to, and then we still need community, so it's just, gosh, I'm so thrilled to have you on, though. I love to do the show with you. You are just amazing, and I get to hear your voice every week at the intro and the outro. Huh? Notice I haven't changed. I'm very conservative. I like to keep things, but I'm growing.
I
do grow. I love it, too.
I love
it. It's just so cool. So, Randy,
Happy 4th
I hope we...
July.
happy 4th, everybody. Celebrate. Have a great time. And God bless America. Thank you, Randy. I'll talk to you soon. And
okay.
To everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter @RealtyUniversal.